Health. Health is such a great conversation. The question is, how? What are you doing to become a healthier person? What are you doing to become a healthier person? I am kind of on this spectrum of trying to become healthier. Just this week, I was on my chiropractor. He was like cracking me up, and talking about this detox thing that he's on, right? He's on this detox, and then I come, DCA people are talking about detox, and I'm like, is detox everywhere? So I thought, man, I gotta get to know what this detox is all about, right? Everybody's talking about. So I went to research a little bit about the detox thing, and man, let me tell you this, I was kind of disappointed at the thing, right? There is a process of becoming healthier. In that process, there is a list of things you gotta give up and do in order to become, to participate on this detox stuff and become healthier. One of the things you ought to do is that you got to start drinking juices, right? A lot of juices. And one of those juices is grass juice. I don't know about you guys, but like, man, the last time I checked, I was no cow, right? Like, grass juice is just not me. I am not drinking the grass juice. At one point, there was all kind of juices listed. And when they said beet juice, I was kind of like, I love beets, but beet juice, like, you know, you can't do that. Then another thing you cannot, so you got to drink some more juices, some things you got to give up. One of the things you got to give up is sugar. Sugar detox. I'm like, I'm telling you, man, I love some sugar. Don't you like sugar? I don't know if you know this. I'm going to give you a little insight into the Rosa family. Do you know what Laura's nickname to me is? Black sugar. That's it right there. I just gave it to you. Yeah, that's how she called me, right? So I can't give up that. You can't do that. You can't give up that. Become healthier, right? It is the goal. It is our goal. Laura's like, I'm going to kill you when I get home. See, Monday morning, I'm not in the office. You know what happened, right? Should I made her say it? No, I'm just joking. The aim is to be healthy, and we all know about that. And as a church, we don't want you only to become physically healthy. We want you to become spiritually healthy. Healthy is a word of God to you and I, and God through His word gives us a process of becoming healthier spiritually. I would love to start with you with the theme that I have for the sermon today. And the theme for the sermon today is this. Our aim as a church is to become a healthier church. And small group is part of the process that will make us healthier and stronger. Let me say this again. The aim of Delaware Christian Church is to become healthier. Listen, a lot of churches out there is focusing on becoming bigger. I don't care about being big. You know what I care about? I care about us becoming healthier. Because we all know that the healthier you are, more attractive you are, right? Look at me. Come on. Right? No. As a church become healthier, as we grow in the image of Jesus, you know, the church becomes more attractive. So I'm not concerned about being big or growing or having thousands of people. No, I want you and I, for us to become healthier, looking God every day more and more like Jesus. And in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 and 25, the author of Hebrews gives a little process, some things that needs to happen in the life of a person, on the life of a congregation, for a church to become a healthier church. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 and 25 tells us this: let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep His promises. Let us think as ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the days of His return is drawing near. He's like, Jesus is coming back, and His days to come back, it is closer. So let me tell you what, if you guys ought to be a healthy church, there are some things you ought to do. The author of Hebrews were afraid that the church was keeping from doing some of the things that really matter. So he goes on and gives them steps into the things that they're missing out. So the first one is this. He says, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. Listen, these people were not holding tightly to the to the hope. And that word hope there in the Christian circle has so much connotations and talk about all kind of things. Let me summarize for you what that hope is. It is Jesus. Jesus. Hold on tight to Jesus. That's what he's telling them. Listen, you hold tight to Jesus. We affirm Jesus and we hold on to him because for God can be trusted to keep his promises. I love what Paul tells us, that every promise of God is yes in Jesus for us. Isn't that what he tells us? Every promise of God to you and I, it is a yes in Jesus. So we hold on tight in Jesus because his promise to comfort us, to heal us, to be with us, to guide us, to help us soar through our masses, it is true in Jesus. Aren't you glad that you have a God who cares so much for your personal life and in our life as a community that all his promise to us in his Son is yes? God's promise. He's faithful and he can be trusted. He keeps on going. Let us think of ways to motivate a healthy church, not only hold tight to Jesus and trust God, always motivate one another. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of good, of love and good works. I love that word motivate. What motivates you? What motivates you? Like you wake up in the morning, what motivates you? I mean, we all have some kind of motivations, right? Like there's something that positive, maybe some positive and maybe some negative. I don't know, but there are some things that motivates you in the morning. And when I wake up in the morning and I want to go to the gym, what motivates me? It is not necessarily picking up weights and lifting. It's the guys that I meet there, that I get to talk to them and have some conversation and some laughter. It is usually people that motivates us. Maybe it's your family that motivates you. Maybe it's your coworkers. Maybe I don't know what motivates you. Maybe it's a task, right? Maybe you are a doer like me. You got to do stuff to feel like fulfilled or something. But we all have motivation. And the author of Hebrews saying, let us think of ways to motivate one another. The person sitting beside you this morning, the pew, should be your motivation in coming to the church and to learn more about Jesus. The people in the streets of Delaware should be your motivation, our motivation, into becoming more like Jesus so that we can love them and serve them as Jesus demonstrated to us in the New Testament. Motivate. And then he goes on and says, let us not neglect our meeting together. A healthy church, it is a church that people are motivated by one another and people are eager to be there whenever there is a meeting. Sunday morning, I'm there. Bible study, I'm there. Small groups, I'm there. Not to be busy, not to be busybody, but because you know that it is refreshing to be among God's people, learn about God's word and growing. Let us not neglect in meeting together, as some people are doing, but encourage one another, especially now that the days of his return is drawing near. Encourage. Wow, I love that word, encourage. We'll read more a little. I'll talk about that in a second. So today, this is the last sermon in small group series. And so I'm going to touch in the things that we talked about in the last few weeks. I'll do it very quickly here and focus on the process, which is the final part of this sermon series, okay? In the first week, Corey, one of your elders, shared with us the vision of the new small group ministry. In that sermon, he shared with us the vision statement for small groups. And the vision statement is going to be up there for you. And the vision statement says this: Delaware Christian Church small groups exist to be a community of encouragement, to experience God together, to grow in faith together, and together impact lives for Jesus Christ. We believe we can achieve this vision by three very important words, by taking hold of three very important words. And the words are connect, change, and cultivate. We believe that these three words will allow us to become this community of encouragement, that experience God, grow, and impact the world for Jesus. But we gotta ask the question, if you want to become a community of encouragement, what does it mean to be a community of encouragement? When you think about the word encouraging or encouragement, what do you think of? What are some alternative words that comes to your mind? I think about, there's three little things that Corey talked to us about. And he said, the community of encouragement, we are called to build each other up. I mean, there's nothing more encouraging than to go to a place and to be broken and to have people cheering you on and helping you through the process, right, of healing. Maybe life is messy, you just lost a job, and nobody's coming around you and judging you for losing your job, but coming around you to uplift you and to pray for you and to care for you, maybe give you leads for the next job. That's what it means to build each other up. To say, you can do it, I'm cheering you on, I'm praying for you, and if you need me, I'm right here. That's a community of encouragement. Another aspect of a community of encouragement is to take care of each other, to care for one another. Listen, can I open my heart for you as a pastor? One of the things that keeps me up at night when it comes to Delaware Christian Church is the fact that for the last few months we have grown more than we expected to. Right? God is doing some amazing things. The Spirit of God is just moving in your life, in the life of the church. But here has created me a problem. I love to care for people. And one of the problems that I have faced is that I can't shake your hands every day, every Sunday morning anymore. Have you noticed that? I can't say hi to every single one of you anymore. I can't even sometimes call you by name anymore because it's becoming more and more difficult to do that. So I have a little process. I go from one side to the next. This Sunday I start this side, the next Sunday I start the next side, and the following Sunday I go from the back, and the next Sunday I go from the front, and I'm trying to cover everybody. But a community of encouragement is not dependent on one guy saying hi to you. A community of encouragement is where everybody knows everyone. There's no strangers in the room. You look across the room and say, oh, I know that person over there. You go to Kroger's and you're like, oh, don't you go to Delaware Christian Church? No habla inglés. But that's part of caring, is knowing someone to the point where you can be there for them. And a community of encouragement, people are there for one another, caring for one another. It's not only relying on one person, the pastor, to do so. The small group leaders and you become an extension of who I am so that together we can care for one another. It is not about me, it is about us. Community of encouragement. When we strengthen one another. Yeah, when we are strengthening each other. We believe that a community of encouragement is connected by living life together, consistently changing to the image of God, and cultivating the relationship with one another and the world through serving. Corey read from us from Colossians chapter 2:2, and he read this. This is what Paul tells the church in Colossae. This is what he says. I want them to be encouraged. I want the church to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. I want them to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is Christ himself. There's Paul again saying, I want them to be encouraged and to have confidence. Those words are the same in the Greek, right? So the word encouragement here means to inspire, to bring confidence out of each other. I want them to be inspired and to be confident in each other and knit together. What a great image, isn't it? Corey said, and I quote, a church that is knitted together by connecting, changing, and cultivating is unbreakable. A church that there is no strangers, where people are connected, where people are changing together, because we all know we are all messed up and imperfect, so we need to change it to the image of Jesus. People that serving one another by impacting each other, we know that when we all come together like that, we are unbreakable. We become the kind of church that is so knit together that nothing can get in the way. He also said, and he lied to you, saying that he didn't knit, and we know I prove you wrong, right? I prove him wrong. Corey said he didn't knit, and I was on YouTube one day, and I was like, what? So that's Corey knitting. I do have that sweater with me in my house. So, if you want to approve. The following week, I talked about connection, right? I talked about being connected. And Corey mentioned something on his sermon that said this: connecting with one another allows the heart to be encouraged. I love that. Connecting with one another allows the heart to be encouraged. I like that statement so much that it molded how I prepared the sermon on connect. And Acts chapter 2, verses 42 and 47 really illustrate what Corey had said. And so this is what Luke, the author of Acts, is giving us. You want to be a healthy church? Here's another process you got to go through. Here's the steps into doing. And he says, as they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all. As any had need, and day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. See, these people were striving to be a healthier community. They're trying to be a community of encouragement where people were encouraged and loved and cared and strengthened. And this is what happened in the end, right? These people are caring for one another and selling their things and praying and the church for worship and doing all the things that we all propose to do. But in the end, look at what it says. The last part of the verse says, the Lord added their number day by day, those who were being saved. Growth is a product of God, not of us. And that sermon, I use the theme for the sermon, which was this. That's what the theme that I had for you on that sermon, Connect. No man, women, children, or teenager is an island. We need each other in order to become fully mature believers who are capable of fulfilling God's purpose for our lives. I said it there on that sermon that community is a foundational part of God's design for humans. And it shouldn't be a surprise for us that community is also foundational to the church. So I talked about how community, from the beginning, God had this idea of community in mind, and it was a foundation for humans, it's foundational for us. And I talked about a problem that we face every day when it comes to living life in community. And I call it radical individualism. I don't know if you remember that. And the rise of radical individualism in our culture, especially in the church, has destroyed our ability to live within a community. Individuality has blinded us to the reality of our commonality, solidarity that is based on our life as a community. I define it radical individualism as this: to savor the pleasure of private life apart from others. We have this thing in our culture today. It's like, I live my life, you live my life. But we know that when people start messing up out there, it starts affecting our own personal lives. I can give you many examples of that, good or bad. When it comes in the church, radical individualism is also in the church. And this is how I define it, radical individualism in the church: to savor the pleasure of my personal faith apart from others. And I can think of many reasons why we shouldn't live in this way, and how people who act in this way has caused me many pains as a pastor and caused you many pains as a Christian, follower of Jesus. Because in reality, we are all tied together. My main point was that small groups allows us to overcome the problem of radical individualism, helping us reclaim the design, the God's design for us, which is to live in community. And I said these two statements that is important. A small group is a provision of God for us to live according to His original design. And the second one was this: small groups allows us to connect with God and to others. And I gave you a very good example, which Paul tells us in Romans chapter 16:16, to greet each other with a holy kiss. Right? Where's? There you go. There you are. Most of the guys that day was discussed. Following that week, I preach about change. Then I talk about Philippians chapter 1, verses 25, that Paul is telling the church in Philippi, I know that I will remain with you to continue to see your progress, the progress of your faith. We are called by Jesus to grow, to mature, and to change into becoming more like Jesus. People has a lot of preconceived idea of what we should change into, but the Bible tells us just to change into the image of Jesus, right? Laura wants me to change into Fabio. It's not going to happen. You like that, don't you? I can't be Fabio, but I could probably be Denzel Washington or something. I don't know. People have always this preconceived idea what we should change ourselves into. And the Bible tells us we ought to become more and more like Jesus. And last week, Corey came and talked about cultivated, and he talks about cultivated, and he talks about cultivated, and he talks about corn, and he talks about sweet corn, and he talks about sweet corn, and I was like, kind of like, what the heck is with him and this obsession of sweet corn? Then I found out why. And he's like eating corn left and right, and so I think there's more pictures there for you. Oh, wait a second. That's not, there we go. I like that better. Like, nothing like, there we go, there we got it. This is Danny Boodoo, right? Hey, there we are. Nothing like a little sweet corn, right? Butter. Honestly, I don't like butter on my sweet corn. I like mayonnaise. What is wrong with you people? We're supposed to be encouraging each other here and loving and kind and strengthening. Yeah, Brazilians put some mayonnaise on their sweet corn and try it. You'll love it. Yeah, I gotcha. And he talked about how Jesus recognized the needs of those around him. And Jesus was aware of his surrounding and has this desire to reach all people. And small groups allows us to recognize and be very effective and very precise in recognizing needs and meeting people's needs, right? It is much easier for you to be in a group of 10 to 15 people and to care for one another and love each other, recognize the needs and supply the needs within there than when we are 400. Isn't it? Much easier. So small groups provide these environments for us to care and love one another and completely change the culture of our church to be the kind of church that is healthy. So today, for the last few minutes that I have left here, I really want to give you this little glimpse about process. For the process, the small groups is part of it within Delaware Christian Church in the process of small groups itself. We live by processes. Everything in life is based on processes, right? If you think about that, is everything in life is given about steps for you to be successful. The definition of process is up there for you, okay? The definition, I got it from the dictionary.com. It says this: process is a series of actions or steps taken in order to achieve a particular end. If you want processes guarantees results, isn't that what it is? If you work in a manufacturer, you know that there is a process, and that process guarantees the result. If you are fixing a car, you know there is a process of that guarantees the result. I mean, I learned about processes very early in my marriage with Laura, right? So like we were together, and one of the things that I agreed was like, I have done my laundry, and I'm gonna do our laundry. I'm gonna be a good husband and do laundry. Isn't that what good husbands do? Amen. So I got all the clothes. This is the first month of being married. I got all the clothes, and I picked the whole thing up, and I go to the washer, and I drop them in the washer, and I put some soap in there, and I close the washer, and start. Boom. Hour later, I come out to pick up the clothes, and I was like, whoa, yep, that's a rainbow color. Clothes was like, that was white, was pink and yellow and blue and the whole thing, and like, it was like a tie-dye kind of thing. Have you ever done tie-dye, right? So I learned that day that if you're going to wash clothes, there is a process, and the first step on that process is not getting the whole thing and put it in the washer. You separate colored ones from the white ones, right? Isn't that how it goes? What about washing dishes? The first time I ever washed dishes in the dishwasher was my in-law's house, and that day there was some dish with eggs, and I get the dishes, and I pick it up, and I put it in the dishwasher, and I close it, and I turn and start. Toof. I didn't know that you're supposed to rinse the egg before you put it in the dishwasher. You open the dishwasher, and you know what happened? Oh, whew. Everything smells like egg. And the cup, you're going to drink water, it smells like egg. Have you ever gone through that? There's a process for washing dishes. I didn't know that. Even the simple things in life has processes. Process is everything. Processes guarantee the result. There is a process for small groups, and small groups are part of the process within what God has called us to be here at Delaware Christian Church. Guys, you might have heard me, heard about DCC's visions to become this exuberant church where people experience God, growing their faith in their relationships in order to impact the world. You probably have heard us say this many, many times before. But we can't be this kind of church that experiences God, that grows and impacts the world if we are not a healthy church. So since I got here in 2016, I have talked to many of you about our aim, and our aim is to become a healthier church. Not a big church, a healthy church. If our processes guarantee results, we at the leadership and the pastoral level at Delaware Christian Church, we are designing a process that will help us achieve the result we feel like God is calling us to be, which is to be healthy. To be a healthier church. Forget about being big and filling the chairs with the people. We want to be a healthy church because when you become a healthy church, you become an attractive church. People want to be part of you. And in the process of becoming a healthier church, we need to take our small groups ministry serious. The book of Acts tells us that a healthy church is composed of small groups that met from home to home, and the elements of these small groups are connect, change, and cultivate. Small groups were people are encouraged and needed together. This is not the kind of small groups where gossip and backstabbing and malice and hurting people's feelings and cussing people out and lack of forgiveness is demonstrated. No. Not at Delaware Christian Church. Small groups where people understand the importance of overcoming this sense of individuality so to grow in our relationship together by crying with those who cry, by laughing with those who laugh, by carrying each other's burden, supporting each other in difficult times, and celebrating in good time. Here is small groups and Delaware Christian Church. I want us to be this safe place where people can share their deepest struggle and be loved through it instead of being judged by it. Small groups where people understand that to serve and to give is better than receive, that we ought to cultivate by serving those around us in our community. The worship team can come forward. We want to be a healthy church. And a small group is part of the process of becoming that church. And if we skip this part of the process, we will never become a healthier church. And that is what God has called us to be. It is His promise to us to be with us and to prosper us in every aspect of our lives, spiritually, physically, emotionally, materially, relationally, professionally, educationally. Life is found in Christ, and Christ lives in us, and small groups allows us to see and to show Christ in a tangible way to one another into our community. Do you want to be part of a healthy church? Do you want to be part of a healthy church? I do. I want to be part of a healthy church. So I want you to take the time here and imagine with me. Imagine with me a church where everyone is welcome, accepted, renewed, and restored. No matter the gender, color, race, nationality, all are given equal opportunity to pursue Jesus in worship. Imagine with me a church like that. Imagine with me a church where the imperfect and the sinful find God's forgiveness and are given the opportunity to join God in the kingdom work here in Delaware. Where the imperfect people find their God-given purpose and of impact and influence in the world. Imagine with me a church where the Spirit of God and grace of God flows freely in the life of every member. Do you want to be part of a church like that? A church where experiencing God's power is not a concept, but a reality that is more important than the personal and the individual gain. Where the supernatural power of God is not talked about, but is experienced through prayer. The blind see, the sick are healed, the unemployed find jobs, the depressed find joy and hope, and the dead is brought back to life. Be part of a church where prayer is not something that people do, but is our life support, and we understand and we participate it. Where prayer moves people and God closer and closer together to accomplish that which is in the heart of God for our community. Where broken hearts are put back together. Where marriages are renovated and renewed. Where relationships are restored. Can you be part of that? I want to be part of that. Where people are given a first, a second, a third, a fourth, a fifth chance. It's because I have had more than that. Do you want to be part of a healthy church? Where people seek holiness and hate sin. Where redemption moves from concept to a reality of life on earth. Do you want to be part of a church where there's no gossip, no cliques, no preferred people, but accountability, transparency, honesty, sincerity, and ministries for all, not for only few? Do you want to be part of a church where people join hands together because they're passionate for God and passionate for God's word and passionate for and devoted to prayer and to the truth and to truthful worship? Can you imagine with me a church like that? Do you want to be part of a healthy church where Jesus is everything to us?